In the northern reaches of Europe, there is a country defined not by noise and haste, but by the quiet rhythm of its forests and the steady, cyclical turning of its seasons. It is a land of immense, tranquil landscapes where ancient granite bedrock meets the deep, cold waters of the Baltic Sea. A place where cities are clean and orderly, and where the silence of the wilderness is never more than a short journey away. This is Sweden. From the air, it reveals itself as a mosaic of deep green and shimmering blue. More than 70% of its surface is covered by forest, and it is home to nearly 100,000 lakes. This is a landscape that breathes, that changes dramatically with the passing of the year. It stretches from the flat, fertile plains of Skåne in the south, a region of rolling fields and historic castles that feels more connected to continental Europe, up through the dense, primeval forests of the heartland, to the majestic mountains and Arctic tundra of Lapland in the far north, the home of the indigenous Sami people. The quality of light here is a character in itself, the ethereal, near-endless daylight of summer that seems to suspend time, and the low, slanted, almost liquid gold light of the deep winter, which can feel both melancholic and profoundly beautiful. This vastness, this ever-present backdrop of nature, has instilled in the national psyche a deep appreciation for space, for quiet, and for solitude. It is a country where silence is not considered empty, but full of meaning. To understand Sweden is to understand this profound connection to nature, and the quiet, pragmatic, and deeply thoughtful society that has grown from it. This is a story of a life lived in balance between the individual and the community, between tradition and innovation, and between the deep calm of the natural world and the steady pulse of a modern, progressive nation. This is the story of life in one of the world's quietest countries. The daily life of most Swedes is marked by a sense of order, predictability, and a deep respect for personal space. Whether in the stylish, minimalist apartments of central Stockholm or the iconic red-painted wooden houses of suburban towns, the home is a sanctuary. It is a place of warmth and light, a carefully curated refuge from the long, dark winters, and a private space for family and quiet reflection. The Swedish concept of home is deeply tied to coziness and security, a principle that finds its expression in simple, functional design, natural materials like wood and stone, and the soft, ambient glow of lamps and candles. Many Swedes live in apartments, often as part of a housing cooperative known as a bostadsrätt. This system fosters a unique sense of shared ownership and responsibility. The communal laundry room, the tvättstuga, is a classic example of this structured community life with its strict booking system, meticulous cleaning protocols, and unspoken rules of conduct. Forgetting to clean the lint filter is a social transgression of the highest order. It is a microcosm of Swedish society, orderly, efficient, and based on mutual respect and a shared understanding of the rules. This value placed on privacy extends into the community. Social interactions are often calm and reserved. Small talk with strangers at a bus stop is uncommon, and a comfortable silence is preferred over forced conversation. People will naturally leave a wide physical space between themselves and others, a buffer zone that is respected by all. This is not a sign of unfriendliness, but rather a reflection of a culture that values sincerity and respects the right of the individual to their own thoughts. Yet beneath this quiet exterior, lies a powerful sense of collective responsibility. Swedish society is built on a foundation of equality, or jämlikhet, and trust. Trust in the government, trust in public institutions, and trust in one another. This is visible in the small, everyday routines. People wait patiently in queues. They meticulously sort their recycling into multiple categories, and they adhere to a shared understanding of social rules. Hierarchies are flat. It is standard practice to address everyone, from a company CEO to a university professor, by their first name, a linguistic shift that took place in the 1960s to promote a more egalitarian society. One of the most cherished of these routines is fika. On the surface, it is simply a coffee break, usually accompanied by a pastry like a cinnamon bun or a piece of cake. But in reality, fika is an institution. It is a verb as much as a noun. To fika, it is a moment deliberately set aside to pause, to socialize with colleagues, friends, or family, and to step away from the pressures of the day. In the workplace, fika is often a mandatory and vital part of the day, a moment for informal brainstorming, team bonding, and quiet consensus building. It is a small, dependable ritual that punctuates the Swedish day, a reminder of the importance of balance and human connection in a society that is otherwise highly efficient and structured. It is a social safety valve, a moment of government-sanctioned relaxation that is considered essential for productivity and well-being. Swedish identity is deeply rooted in a collection of cherished traditions that mark the changing of the seasons. None is more important than Midsummer. Celebrated on the longest day of the year, it is a joyful, almost pagan, embrace of the sun's peak. Families and friends gather in the countryside to eat a specific menu of pickled herring, new potatoes with dill, and sour cream, followed by the first strawberries of the season with cream. They sing traditional drinking songs, or snapsvisor, and dance around the maypole, a cross decorated with birch leaves and wildflowers. It is a celebration of light, nature, and community, a moment of collective release after the long, dark winter. Conversely, in the heart of that winter darkness comes the festival of Lucia. On the morning of December 13th, towns and cities across the country are illuminated by processions led by a young woman representing Saint Lucia, a bearer of light in the darkness, wearing a white gown and a crown of real candles. She is followed by a choir singing traditional songs, bringing light and warmth into homes, schools, and workplaces. The celebration is accompanied by saffron-flavored buns called lussekatter and thin gingerbread cookies, or pepparkakor. It is a beautiful, solemn, and uniquely Swedish tradition, a promise of the sun's eventual return. Other seasonal celebrations are just as important. In August, Swedes host kräftskivor, or crayfish parties, where they don paper hats and bibs and eat copious amounts of boiled crayfish under paper lanterns. On Shrove Tuesday, they eat semlor, cardamom buns filled with almond paste and whipped cream. These rituals provide structure to the year, connecting the present to the past in a tangible, flavorful way. Underpinning much of Swedish culture is the philosophy of lagom. The word has no direct English translation, but it means, roughly, not too much, not too little. It is the principle of moderation, of finding the right amount, of seeking balance and avoiding extremes. Lagom is not about mediocrity. It is about finding the optimal, sustainable solution. It is visible everywhere, in the clean, uncluttered lines of Swedish design, in the preference for consensus in decision-making, and in the understated, humble approach to personal achievement. It is a quiet, guiding principle that shapes the national character, fostering a society that values fairness, sustainability, and the well-being of the collective over the ambitions of the individual. This philosophy is intertwined with a powerful connection to nature, a belief that humans are not separate from the environment, but an integral part of it. The Swedish economy is a unique blend of a high-tech, capitalist engine and a comprehensive, state-funded welfare system. It is home to globally recognized brands in manufacturing and engineering, as well as a thriving technology sector based in Stockholm that has produced numerous successful startups, earning it the nickname of a unicorn factory. The working culture is structured, efficient, and deeply respectful of the boundary between professional and private life. Punctuality is expected, meetings are focused and purposeful, and decisions are often made through consensus, a process that can be slow but ensures that all voices are heard and a collective agreement is reached. This flat hierarchy means that junior employees are expected to voice their opinions, and managers often see their role as that of a coach rather than a commander. Perhaps the most defining feature of Swedish work life is its commitment to balance. The standard work week is 40 hours, and overtime is rare. The concept of working late into the evening is often seen not as a sign of dedication, but of poor time management. This is supported by a social welfare system, known as Folkhemmet, or the people's home, that is one of the most generous in the world. The state provides comprehensive health care, free education from preschool through university, and extensive social security benefits, all funded by high taxes. This system is designed to create a safety net that allows for a high degree of security and equality, caring for citizens from cradle to grave. Strong trade unions work in close cooperation with employers' organizations, creating a stable and predictable labor market where conflict is resolved through negotiation rather than confrontation. This is most evident in the country's parental leave policy. Parents are entitled to 480 days of paid leave per child to be shared between them, with a significant portion, 90 days, reserved specifically for each parent to encourage equal participation. These daddy months, or papa månader, have had a profound impact on gender equality, making it commonplace to see fathers pushing strollers and taking their children to the park on a weekday afternoon. This progressive policy fosters a more equal distribution of childcare responsibilities and allows both parents to build strong bonds with their children in their formative early years. It is a system built on the belief that a healthy, balanced, and equitable society is also a productive and prosperous one. Swedish cuisine, or husmanskost, is a direct reflection of the country's landscape and climate. It is a food culture built on simple, wholesome ingredients, with dishes designed to provide comfort and sustenance through the long, cold winters. The most iconic of these is, of course, the Swedish meatball, traditionally served with gravy, boiled potatoes, sweet and sour lingonberry jam, and pickled cucumber. It is a humble, beloved dish, a staple of home cooking, and a symbol of Swedish comfort food. Other classic husmanskost dishes include pea soup and pancakes, traditionally eaten on Thursdays, a practice dating back to the pre-Reformation era. The sea and the country's many lakes provide an abundance of high-quality seafood. Pickled herring is a cornerstone of any celebratory meal, served in a variety of sweet, sour, and spiced marinades. Salmon, both cured, gravid lax, with dill and sugar, and smoked, is another staple, often eaten with dill-stewed potatoes. The forests offer a seasonal bounty of mushrooms and berries, particularly lingonberries, blueberries, and the prized cloudberries, which are foraged and preserved for the winter months. A modern tradition that has firmly taken root is Friedrichstacos, or Friday tacos, where families across the country gather to enjoy a customized taco meal to kick off the weekend, a ritual that has become part of the broader concept of Friedrichsmise, or Friday coziness. Everyday meals are often simple and practical. Crisp bread or knäckebröd is a constant presence on the Swedish table, a dry, crunchy rye cracker that is eaten with butter, cheese, or cold cuts. And no exploration of Swedish food would be complete without the cinnamon bun or kanelbulle. It is the quintessential accompaniment to fika, a soft, sweet, and fragrant pastry that is a small, affordable, and deeply cherished part of everyday life. At its heart, Swedish food is not about elaborate techniques or exotic ingredients. It is about pure flavors, seasonal availability, and the simple, profound pleasure of a shared meal. To truly understand the Swedish soul, one must understand the Swede's relationship with nature. The outdoors is not a place to be visited on occasion. It is an integral part of life, a source of recreation, solitude, and spiritual renewal. This is enshrined in a unique law known as Allemansrätten, or the right of public access. This ancient principle gives everyone the right to roam freely in the countryside, to hike, camp for a night, swim, and forage for berries and mushrooms, as long as they do so with respect for the land, for wildlife, and for private property. The core principle is, do not disturb, do not destroy. It is a powerful symbol of the belief that nature is a shared resource, a gift to be enjoyed by all. This love for the outdoors is expressed in many ways. In the summer, many Swedes retreat to their stuga, a small, often simple, wooden cabin, usually painted in a distinctive Falu red color and located by a lake or on the coast. The Stockholm Archipelago, a breathtakingly beautiful collection of over 30,000 islands, is a popular destination. Life at the stuga is about simplicity, swimming in the cold, clear water, fishing for perch, reading in a hammock, and enjoying the long, light-filled evenings with family. It is a return to basics, a deliberate disconnection from the demands of modern life. In the north, the vast, pristine wilderness of Lapland offers a different kind of natural experience. It is a land of towering forests, powerful rivers, and in winter, the mesmerizing spectacle of the Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis. National parks like Abisko provide some of the most accessible and dramatic hiking and skiing in Europe. Whether it is a gentle walk in a local forest, a weekend at a cabin on the islands of Gotland or Öland, or a multi-day trek through the mountains, the connection to the natural world is a constant, grounding force in Swedish life. For a country of its size, Sweden is remarkably well connected. A highly efficient and reliable public transportation system of trains and buses links even remote towns and villages. In the cities, public transport is the preferred way to travel for many, a clean, safe, and sustainable alternative to the private car. The Stockholm Metro, or Tunnelbanan, is famous for being the world's longest art gallery, with most of its stations adorned with unique sculptures, paintings, and installations. This is part of a broader, deeply ingrained commitment to environmental sustainability. Sweden is a global leader in renewable energy, recycling, and sustainable living practices, with cities like Hammarby Sjöstad in Stockholm serving as models for sustainable urban development. The concept of flygskam, or flight shame, originated in Sweden, reflecting a growing public consciousness about the environmental impact of air travel. Bicycles are a ubiquitous sight in cities like Malmö and Gothenburg. Extensive networks of dedicated bike lanes make cycling a safe and practical mode of transport for daily commutes, not just a leisure activity. In recent years, there has been a significant shift towards electric vehicles, supported by government incentives and a growing network of charging stations. Sweden is also one of the most digitally advanced and connected societies in the world. High-speed internet is widely available, and Swedes are early adopters of new technologies. It is a largely cashless society, where digital payments are the norm for everything, from buying a coffee to paying for public transport. Secure digital identification systems like Bank ID are used for everything from filing taxes to making a doctor's appointment, creating a seamless and efficient digital infrastructure. This integration of modern technology and sustainable practices is a defining feature of contemporary Swedish life. It is a society that looks to the future, embracing innovation while striving to live in a way that is responsible, efficient, and in harmony with the environment. Education is a cornerstone of Swedish society, seen as a fundamental right and a key to both individual and national progress. The public education system is free, from preschool all the way through to university. This commitment to accessible education for all has created a highly educated and skilled population. Sweden is home to some of Northern Europe's oldest and most prestigious universities, such as those in Uppsala and Lund, which attract students and researchers from around the world. The educational philosophy emphasizes critical thinking, collaboration, and problem solving over rote memorization. Life for young people in Sweden is characterized by a high degree of independence and personal responsibility. They are encouraged from a young age to think for themselves and to form their own opinions. It is common for young adults to leave home early, often to study in a different city. Student life is vibrant, with a strong tradition of student unions or nations that organize social activities, sports, and cultural events. The high school graduation, or studenten, is a major rite of passage, celebrated with students wearing white caps, riding in open-top trucks through the city, and celebrating with their families. Growing up in a small, prosperous, and globally connected country gives many young Swedes a distinctly international outlook. English is taught from an early age and is spoken fluently by the vast majority of the population. Many choose to take a gap year after secondary school to travel the world, gaining new perspectives before returning to Sweden to begin their careers or university studies. The great challenge for the nation is to continue to provide opportunities that will keep this talented, globally minded generation at home, ensuring a dynamic and innovative future. The rhythm of day and night in Sweden is a study in quiet contrasts, a rhythm profoundly shaped by the high latitudes. The daytime is a period of focused, productive activity. The streets are busy, but not chaotic, the offices are efficient, and public life moves with a steady, unhurried pace. There is a clear structure to the day, a shared understanding of time for work, time for fika, and time for family. As evening descends, a palpable sense of calm settles over the towns and cities. Life turns inward. In the long, dark winters, the warm, inviting glow of lights from windows becomes a defining feature of the urban landscape. This is the season of mys, the Swedish concept of coziness. It is a conscious and deliberate cultivation of warmth and comfort to combat the darkness, involving candles, warm blankets, hot drinks, and quiet time with loved ones. The evenings are a time for quiet domesticity, for shared meals, for reading, for conversation. In the summer, the dynamic is different, but the feeling of peace remains. The long, lingering twilight of the white nights, when the sun barely sets, invites a gentle, unhurried social life. People gather in parks, by the water, or in outdoor cafes, savoring every moment of the precious light. Even in the heart of the largest cities, the nights are remarkably peaceful. The quiet is not empty. It is a shared, collective state of rest and tranquility, a time to recharge before the new day begins. Life in this peaceful and well-ordered corner of the world is not without its challenges. The most immediate and unavoidable of these is the weather. The long, dark and cold winters can be psychologically demanding, and the lack of sunlight can have a profound effect on mood and energy levels. The Swedes have adapted with a culture that emphasizes coziness and light, but the seasonal darkness remains a formidable force. The high quality of life and extensive social services come at a price. The cost of living, particularly for housing, food and alcohol, is among the highest in Europe. While salaries are also high, the financial pressures can be significant. The flip side of the consensus-driven culture and the philosophy of Lagom can sometimes manifest as a pressure to conform, a reluctance to stand out that is sometimes referred to as the law of Jante, an unwritten social code that discourages individualism and personal ambition. In recent decades, Sweden has welcomed a large number of immigrants and refugees, a policy rooted in its humanitarian values. This has created a more diverse and multicultural society, but it has also brought significant challenges of social integration, leading to segregated neighborhoods and a robust, ongoing national debate about identity and social cohesion. Balancing the preservation of a unique cultural identity with the creation of an inclusive, multicultural society is one of the most complex and pressing issues that Sweden faces today. So why do people choose to live here? Why, in a world of endless options, do they remain rooted in this quiet, northern land? The answers are found not in grand gestures, but in the small, dependable qualities of everyday life. They stay for the profound sense of safety and security, or trygghet, for the freedom to walk anywhere at any time of day or night without fear. They stay for the social trust, the tillit, which is among the highest in the world. It is the foundational belief that people and institutions are, by and large, trustworthy, which makes daily life smoother, less stressful, and more collaborative. It is the reason people leave their babies in strollers outside a cafe while they have a coffee inside. They stay for the unparalleled access to nature, for the priceless ability to escape into the silence of the forest or the calm of the archipelago, just minutes from home. They stay for the balance, for a culture that understands that life is more than just work, that time for family, for oneself, and for quiet reflection is not a luxury, but a necessity. And above all, they stay for the quiet, steady, and predictable rhythm of life, a rhythm that allows for a deeper connection to the seasons, to the community, and to oneself. Sweden exists in a state of carefully negotiated equilibrium between the deep solitude of its landscapes and the collective strength of its society, between the preservation of ancient traditions and the embrace of a progressive future. It is a country shaped by the forest and the sea, by the dramatic shifts between light and darkness, and by a quiet, resilient, and deeply thoughtful people. Here, life is measured not in noise and spectacle, but in the steady, dependable rhythm of the seasons, in the warmth of a shared moment, and in the simple, profound beauty of a life lived in balance. It is a living testament to the idea that in a world that is constantly accelerating, there is still a place and a deep human need for a quiet and steady way forward.